Welcome, everyone, to the Commerce Committee. We'll come to order. And first, we have Senator Metzen, who's going to talk about automobile theft prevention, Senate File 652. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We had a discussion, I believe, last week on fraud here in the United States and in Minnesota. It's estimated that fraud costs the taxpayers and the ratepayers about $7 billion a year in premiums, rates, and we're trying to chip away at this and correct it. We figure that each homeowner pays about $950 a year extra in dues for fraud. We need more money for enforcement. We have an auto theft prevent program was created in 1996. Generates $2.6 million, and that's a dollar per vehicle. The Department of Commerce has an insurance fraud division, and they manage the program. But with some of the fiscal shortcomings here the last few years, $1.3 million of the $2.6 million for the auto theft prevention money account was taken away to help balance the state budget and put in a general fund. What this bill does, it reinstates the $1.3 million and gets it back to $2.6 million. I know the money matter. This will have to go to the Finance Committee, but I think this is good policy. The money should never have been taken away, and that's what the bill does. Senator, I have Ramsey County Attorney John Choi here to speak for a few
minutes. Senator Metzen, do you have an amendment for this?
Yes, I believe so. Maybe Mr. Stang... I believe it's not controversial.
Chairman, Senator Metzen has the delete all A1 amendment for the bill to put it in the shape he'd like it as an author's amendment.
I think that directs the money to the right spot.
That's correct. The right account.
So that somebody. I'll move the amendment then.
Okay. Any discussion on the A1 amendment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. Again, this is Ramsey County Attorney John Choi. A friend of mine for quite a while, and we were at a seminar not too long ago, and you gave the kind of the keynote address on fraud out in Bloomington that day, and a wonderful job. I wasn't there, but I heard you. I was there in the morning. My name is Mr. Choi.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, first of all, I want to...
Can you state your name for the...
My name is John Choi, Ramsey County Attorney for the record. First of all, I want to just say thank you to Senator Metzen for his leadership on bringing this bill forward. This is something that a lot of people in the law enforcement community have been talking about relative to the fact that every Minnesotan who has automobile insurance every year annually is charged a dollar under the premise of an auto prevention theft surcharge. And as Senator Metzen talked about, because of the state's fiscal challenges, about half of this money was used to balance the budget. And I know that a lot of people in the prosecution and law enforcement community always thought that this money should be allocated for what was its intended purpose. And so if there's a way that the legislature can figure out a way to bring it back to its intended purpose, we would be very, very supportive. If you look at the auto theft prevention results with respect to this grant, we've had a 37% decrease from 2004 to 2010. So this money really does work when you channel it back to investigation and grant programs. And so the money does work. And this delete all, the amendment that Senator Metzen just moved would also allow for the money to be used for the purpose of combating insurance fraud. And as all of you heard last week in this committee, we've got a growing issue with respect to that. And I think that money could be used for more investment in investigations in the Department of Commerce, enhanced prosecutions. And, of course, that will benefit all Minnesotans who pay insurance because we end up paying for fraud and auto theft in terms of insurance premiums. So with that, I just wanted to express my strong support for the amendment that Senator Metzen is bringing forward, and thank him again for his leadership.
Members, do you have any questions for Mr. Choi?
Madam Chair, if there aren't any for representatives, we have Bob Johnson from the Insurance Federation. I'd like to say a few words. And we also have, he's here, but the Sheriff's Association has sent the letter endorsing what we're trying to do, too.
Okay, so. Great.
Madam Chair and committee members, Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota, and just very briefly, we support the bill as amended. Thanks, Senator Metzen, for following up. This is an important program. It served an important public purpose in combating automobile theft in Minnesota. I worked with the prosecutor and law enforcement community when it was originally passed, served on the board for 3 years, so I'm very familiar with the grant process, and when police departments and prosecutors and others come for money, it's a good program, it's a good use and function, and all of the money that's collected from consumers should be used for the purpose that it's collected from them. So we urge your support for this bill and moving forward on this in 2013. So thank you, Madam
Chair. Okay, thank you.
That's all I have this morning. I believe it's all the
is
money
Jim
thing.
Is Jim Franklin in here to testify?
See here?
Yes.
Oh, you.
Good to see you, sir.
Sheriff, yes.
Sorry.
Madam Chair, Jim Franklin, Executive Director for the Minnesota Sheriff's Association. I apologize, we did not get a letter. I thought my presence might supersede a letter, but I just wanted to lend our support to this bill and just also comment that this does not just happen with just the metro area. It's a very important thing for our outstate Minnesota sheriffs also. We have Sheriff Hodapp from Beltrami County today and also the chief from Bemidji Police Department. They are recipients of this money. And again, every dollar that we can get to run our programs is very critical and important to us. So thank you for your consideration. We trust that you would support this measure, and thank you, Senator.
Okay. Senator Reinhart.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. And I don't have a question, but I want to thank the chair for going down this road. He knows as well or better than most of us that we've got several of these to try and unwind where we have asked folks to pay an additional fee or we've tacked something on and said it was for a specific purpose that others come to rely on to do work we've asked them to do, and then oops, somehow it ends up in the general fund. So I appreciate the chair's leadership on this and hope we will tackle the other ones as they come along.
Thank you
Senator Reiner. We're pretty good at that, rating certain funds, and we got to try to get away with that, or do away with that. But, and with that, I believe it has to go to, because of the money situation, to, I think we're here for the policy, and I would hope that you folks on this committee agree with me on the policy end of it, and then we'll go the next step to the Finance Committee.
Okay. Okay.
I'll move the bill that Senate File 652 as amended be recommended to pass and forwarded to the Finance Committee.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you very much.
Motion prevails.
Next, I believe you have Senate File 679.
Madam Chair, I do. This came maybe from the automobile dealers, and MADA and the manufacturers agree with this legislation. What it does, it clarifies existing laws that prohibits manufacturers competing directly with the dealer. So if you're a manufacturer of an automobile, you're not going to have a dealership. And it seems like this clarifies it. Everybody's on board as far as I know. And see, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, the National Association representing most major automakers, also considers the bill to be clarification and is not being opposed that I'm aware of.
Do you have an amendment for this bill as well?
I guess so. The Boy Scouts
the A3 amendment?
I was trying to fix up my bills. Right? It'd be A3. Did you want to talk about this, or did Senator?
State your name.
My name is Jacob Milner, and I'm with the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. All this amendment does here is just clarify that this bill is dealing with passenger automobiles and trucks. It's just narrowing the scope of the legislation.
Okay, is there any questions? Any discussion? All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails.
Well, that's the, well, I was going to, with your permission, Madam Chair, Mr. Diomed O'Connell, wants to make a brief comment. I thought this was something we might have been able to work out in the last 30, 40 hours, but we haven't been able to work it out. But he's got a story to tell. And I told him that we're not going to put it on this bill because it's non-controversial and this could make it, and I want this bill to pass. But I thought we'd give him an audience today. And then I told Mr. McAsey and Mr. O'Connell that they could come in the next day or two and maybe have a bill and take it on its own. But,
okay.
But we'll give you 3 minutes or so to tell them what you're doing.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dermot O'Connell. I represent Tesla Motors. Tesla Motors is an American manufacturer of battery electric vehicles. We were founded 8 years ago. We are based in California. We introduced very successfully a two-seat Roadster some 4 years ago. We are currently producing a sedan known as the Model S. It has won many industry awards this year, including the Motor Trend Award. It is a zero gasoline, zero emissions vehicle. The mission of the company is to catalyze the market for electric vehicles in a way that traditional OEMs are unable to do. A fundamental aspect of our retail of our model is to sell our cars directly through stores, to service them directly through our service centers, and we very much would like to bring our business to California. I'm sorry, to Minnesota, excuse me, from California to Minnesota, because we see the Minnesota market as very accepting of zero-emissions automotive vehicles. The current law, as it exists, is permissive of this activity in that if one is an automotive manufacturer who has never had a franchise dealership, one is not barred from entering the market with its own stores. But under the proposed legislation here, we would effectively be barred from entering the market with our business model as it exists right now. So with your permission, I would ask you to consider our position as we move forward here, and as Senator Metzen has suggested.
I don't think it'd be barred if you had like a dealership doing it. Okay. With that, we have Mr. Jacob Milner with the MADA.
Go ahead.
Again,
go ahead.
Thank you to the committee. Thank you to the chair. My name is Jacob Milner. Again, I'm with MADA. We're just seeking to clarify the intent of the Motor Vehicle Franchise Protection Act by restating that an auto manufacturer is prohibited from owning a dealership. Current state regulations are meant to create a clear division between the business rights and responsibilities between the new dealers on the one hand and the motor vehicle manufacturers on the other. State law is necessary in this regard to ensure fairness in these contracts because of the enormous disparity that exists between the bargaining power of the Minnesota franchisee, which are the small business car dealers, and the global automakers. We have hundreds in Minnesota, mostly family-owned businesses throughout the state, businesses where millions of dollars have been invested by our citizens, which need continued protection in this regard. These dealers, I should say, represent about 16,000 state jobs. The franchise dealership system, which has been in place since the earliest days of the auto industry, has worked well. This year and last year, there were over 14.5 million new cars and trucks sold in the United States, and the system works well for many reasons, one of them being that manufacturers have strict requirements that dealers must follow in order to sell those cars, repair cars, and represent the brands to the marketplace. We're concerned about the possible consumer protection angle if manufacturers are allowed to sell cars without dealerships as part of the equation. For example, many independent dealerships continue to stay in business and provide services, even if the auto company or brand they sell does not. If a manufacturer without dealers were to close its company stores and service facilities, their customers would likely be left without recourse in this regard. For example, on the road today, you see owners of Oldsmobiles, Pontiacs, Hummers, Saabs, Daewoos, Isuzus, and other vanished lines who are able to access services and parts through the through their dealerships long after those brands have disappeared from the marketplace. Under current Minnesota law, as well as the laws of other states, vehicle motor manufacturers, i.e. General Motors and those that belong to the Alliance, as Senator Metzen mentioned earlier, are prohibited from selling vehicles directly to customers in competition with their franchisees, which are the independent auto groups or auto dealers, because of the unfair competition practices that would result. Several states, I should say, are looking at this legislation as dealers look long-term into the future. We see various factors facing the global auto industry, such as the possibility of entire lines being rebranded and emerging manufacturers, their desire to operate freely from regulations and apply that to current businesses. And as I said, this has prompted several states to look at bills very similar to this. Again, all we're seeking to do is just simply clarify the existing statute in Minnesota, which prohibits manufacturers from owning dealerships, and I welcome any questions you may have.
Members, any questions? Senator Deans.
Madam Chair, I think the gentleman from the electric company was asking to make a response to a comment a little earlier, so I'd like to have him have that opportunity to do that.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Senator. If I could address my colleague's point with respect to the intent of the law. Tesla is entirely respecting of the fact that the history and intent of manufacturer dealer law as it exists in Minnesota, as it exists in other states, is to protect the investments of dealers that they have made over the course of history against the possible predation of OEMs that have extraordinary power in the marketplace and could set up their own stores to compete with those dealerships. That is not the case with Tesla Motors. We believe that there is a very simple solution to this problem, which permit the dealers to continue with all of the protections that they have had in the past and rightly deserve, but create a very narrow exception that would allow Tesla Motors to enter the market. I should also say, with respect to the net effect of this, we are yet a very small company. As I said, started 8 years ago, only several thousand employees, and with one car in the marketplace right now. While we have great ambitions, I think it's reasonable to believe that the net effect of our sales in this state will be on the order of only several hundreds per year in the going forward. So the total effect is, the total impact on the dealer market, the dealer business as it exists right now for other products, would be a de minimis.
Okay, members.
I told my dear friend Bert McAsee, who was helping here with Mr. O'Connell, that we'll find some time going forward and give this a hearing on its own, and we're kind of filled up over it. But I did promise you we'd do that. So, and could pass. You're the ones that have to vote on it.
Okay. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just a little confused about the legislation, and maybe Mr. Stang could.
Maybe Mr. Stang could assist.
Oh, and maybe Mr. Stang could help with that. I'm a little confused about the legislation. Is it was mentioned earlier that the law or the original law is called the Auto Dealership Franchise Protection Legislation or something that is current law. And is this bill merely clarifying current law, or is it already current law that you have to have a dealership? Or Mr. O'Connell, is that your name?
Yes.
Seems to feel that under current law, they would be able to direct sell to the consumer. So, Mr. Stang?
Madam Chairman, Senator Pappas, I'm not positive on that myself. It sounded like this new statutory change was necessary to keep out a company like Tesla. At least that's the testimony we've heard. And in essence, the gentleman seems to be arguing against passage of the bill rather than
current
needing
law.
Yeah, instead of current law. But I haven't analyzed it completely in that sense either. So,
Alyssa might be able to answer. Alyssa's here. Is there someone Alyssa?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Alyssa Shalander. I'm with the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association, as well as my colleague Jacob Milner. Senator Pappas, to answer your question, Chapter 80E is the section of Minnesota law that regulates the contracts between franchised auto dealers and automakers. And in that chapter, ADE.13, I believe, we have had over a decade of law that stated that an auto manufacturer may not sell directly to customers in competition with its own dealers, because of the, you know, the obvious disparity there and unfairness that that would create. As a franchisee, of course, I don't need to point out to you that, you know, if you're a franchisee selling Chevrolets, you only have one source of supply for Chevrolets, and that's General Motors. So if General Motors can also sell directly to customers, it's pretty clear who can sell that product more cheaply and undercut us as a competitor. And that's why we need a state law to ensure that there's fairness in those contracts, that a manufacturer couldn't come in and operate in that manner.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, but under current law, manufacturers have not done that, like General Motors or Ford, have not tried to direct sale to consumers.
Madam Chair and Senator Pappas, that's correct. They have not done that because we have had a strong state law in that it specifically addresses that particular issue. However, with the advent of companies that are emerging, specifically the fact that Tesla has had so much press on their intent to sell directly to customers and do a sort of an exclusive online ordering sort of system. There has been a lot of discussion amongst industry groups that this could pose a threat, not necessarily from Tesla, but by other manufacturers that currently have dealerships that may try to reorganize their business so in such a way that they could rebrand their vehicles and possibly, you know, compete unfairly with using a model like that. And we feel that would go against the intent of our longstanding law here in Minnesota. And frankly, you know, there are 50 states that have laws that are similar to this in this regard.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas raised a very good point, and I have had a little more time to look at it. If you look at the language on line 2.22 and 2.3 that's being stricken, that's current law. And what it says is a manufacturer can't compete with a new motor vehicle dealer in the same line make. But I think what the gentleman from Tesla was saying is they don't have any dealers they'd be competing with. They'd be coming in fresh. Okay. And so under current law, they'd be allowed to do that because no dealer is currently selling their automobiles. What the bill does is expand this concept in that no manufacturer can sell their cars, whether a dealer is currently competing in that line make or not. So that's kind of the essence of the bill, I think.
And Madam Chair, Ms. Schlander, are there any auto dealers that are not strict franchisers? In other words, they can carry multiple franchises so that Tesla would have the option of working with a dealership, but it wouldn't be an exclusive dealership just for them. It would be, is there such a thing, does such a thing exist?
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, yes, such a thing exists. And Tesla, I'm sure there are many dealers in Minnesota that would be happy to sell Tesla motor vehicles through their dealership. You know, the issue of whether a dealership offers its facilities exclusively to one brand is something that is not prohibited by state law but would be open to negotiation between the manufacturer and the dealership.
Okay, thank you. Any other members have questions? Senator Carlson.
Madam Chair and Senator Metzen, when we're talking about line 2.23 to 2.27, the new language that's put in here may not operate either directly, indirectly, or have a permanent facility for display of new vehicles located within the state of the same line of make. If the Ford plant would reopen, could the Ford plant put their cars in their lobby?
Ford plant?
Yeah, if the Ford plant was open and had the cars,
that
the
is hypothetical because they're gone. They're gone.
Well, maybe if the Tesla plant would open, and would they be able to display their cars in the lobby of their manufacturing facility?
Mm. Probably not, the way I understand it.
Can anyone answer? We'll have it.
Madam Chair,
the manufacturers agree with what we're doing here, by the way. And the dealerships do.
They're neutral.
Well, I'm correct. They're neutral. They're not objecting to it. Let's put it that way.
I would really question that they wouldn't be able to display that because they're manufacturing the vehicles. It's not a showroom for sales. So I don't know that. I guess we'd have to see what Mr. Stang thinks, but I'm not so sure that this bill is going to say that they cannot do that in a manufacturing plant because it's not a sales. They're not selling the vehicles. They're manufacturing them.
But he was saying they want to sell them.
You know, Senator Carlson?
Madam Chair, no, I'm looking at it in plain language here. It just says that they can't do it. It doesn't give an exemption for a manufacturing facility that displays their own wares. It just says they can't have a permanent facility that displays any vehicles.
I would think, Madam Chair, that's a dual track, and I don't think that'd be prohibited, or that would be prohibited.
That it would be.
So we promised the people that are looking at this that we're going to come back and they can make their case again. But again, this is something I'd like to pass on today.
Okay.
If I might seek your indulgence just for a moment, we have had discussions in the last 24 hours with the Dealers Association, and frankly, we thought we had something that would work for both parties. Our posture nationally, because we've done this in many states, is very constructive. We want to work within the parameters of the law, and we're hopeful that we might be able to pursue once again the discussion and the potential agreement with the Dealers Association.
Okay, thank you for that. Senator Metzen, is there
it's work in progress. And I sent the folks out yesterday, and I said, work it out, because we don't need controversy, and they're not quite there yet. But they're still going to be working on it.
Okay, thank you. Senator Kozelka?
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, do we have another stop for this bill?
Yes, transportation has asked for it, so we might. We said this other time to this committee, work here, but. Maybe there's such a thing as if they get something worked out and it's agreed on both sides, they can run it by the chair and I can run it by you guys and say, okay, they've worked it out, if that would be agreeable. Normally we do our work here, but it's work in progress with them, and we'll let them continue on before it gets to Transportation Committee. It could get done there, and if not, they can do a separate bill and see where it ends up.
Senator Dobbs.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, you had mentioned maybe having them work it out and bring it back before us. Is it, should we just table the bill and get it worked out and then bring it before us?
I'd rather do it. I'd rather get this out the door and get it over with, get it done. It's pretty important to the industry, to our local dealers in Stillwater or wherever, and all around it, you know. And I know a couple dealerships in Hanover Grove Heights and South St. Paul are anxious to get this going. So I'd like to do it that way, but with the word, with the promise that we're not throwing this under the bus. So,
So what you're saying is we will get it worked out before.
I hope so.
Okay.
If not, they can come back on their own with a bill and run it through this committee.
Okay, Senator Metzen, what would you like to do with the
I move that the Senate file be 679, is it?
As amended?
As amended, be recommended to pass and forwarded to the Transportation Committee.
Okay. That's a motion before the committee. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. And now we have Senator Carlson. Yeah. And this is Senate File 626.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have Senate File 626, which is an agency bill. an agency bill to make technical corrections to various parts of the commerce-related language in statute. What I'll do is I'll just go through them briefly just to get you familiar with them. Item 1 requires an individual to be licensed and a licensed insurance producer and satisfy the minimum training and education requirements established by FEMA. This is a federal mandate in order to sell insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIB. Section 2 updates references to other statutes relating to practices that are prohibited by staff adjusters. Section 3 eliminates a requirement to return real estate licenses to the Department of Commerce if salespersons or brokers fail to complete post-licensing education requirements, and that's partly because there are no physical licenses issued anymore. Section 4 increases the real estate license fee from $10 to $20, and actually that is a technical correction that corrects an error in Statute 8263, which misstated the transfer fee of $10, which should have been $20. Section 5 through 8 makes the statute conform to the repealer in Section 9. Section 8 also changes cross-reference from 80C.03 to 82C.03, and that's a technical correction. Section 9 repeals the membership camping license requirement for salespersons or brokers. And Article 2 updates a number of dollar figures in statute and requires the commissioner to promptly notify the revisor's office of future changes, which will then be published in the statute. These are considered to be non-controversial, and I would appreciate your support. And I have Mr. Peter Bickwitty here if there are any questions of the office.
Let me just ask, you say these are technical modifications. Brought to you by the commissioner, right?
Yes.
And their technical cleanup, we have heard.
Mr. Chair, yes.
Anybody in the audience wish to speak against this bill? If not, any committee members, Senator Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Huffman or if the gentleman with you wants to answer this question. Under Section 2, update statutory cross-references related to prohibited practices to staff adjusters. Could you go into detail exactly what's happening there?
Sir, did you wish to?
Mr. Chairman, Peter Brickwitty, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. I believe, Senator Dames, that's simply a technical correction that came to us from the revisor's office, actually, looking for changes to update that statutory reference there. I believe those clauses that are referenced that are being deleted are all there's been an expansion of the number that in that particular statute since the last time it was revised, so it's simply a technical correction to say instead of listing them out to do clauses 1 through 15 as opposed to clauses 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. That came to us from the revisor's office.
And then a follow-up, Mr. Chair, on Section 4, increasing that license transfer fee from $10 to $20, there was a statement that was missed before. Where along the line did that get changed that we didn't pick it up?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dames, that's actually something that was put into law in two separate places. And it was a typo, essentially, that went into this section, 82.63. The other place where it's referenced in statute is 82.57 subdivision 1F, where it is correct at the $20 level. And that's the fee that has been assessed since this was put into law. And we're just picking up a typo that had been put in place previously. But it has no practical change in how that fee is assessed.
Okay.
That, any further questions? Okay, seeing none, Senator Carlson moves that Senate File 926 be recommended to pass, and I believe it goes right to the floor. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
On that motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much. Senator Goodwin, you've got Senate File 650.
Yes.
Insurance Fraud Prevention Division. Senator Goodwin, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 650 is basically a technical bill for the Department of Commerce, and it makes a number of technical changes and a couple of other changes that I know we'll be talking about here. Section 1 renames the Division of Insurance Fraud to the Commerce Fraud Bureau. So Section 2 requires that a person who is issued a subpoena not disclose that the subpoena was issued or that the records requested have been given to law enforcement personnel unless the disclosure is necessary to find and disclose the records or is pursuant to court order. You know, some of this is pretty dry stuff. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Some is not, though, I've heard.
What? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
We'll find out in a minute.
Yes, we will. Section 3 provides an education provider is responsible for the actions of its coordinators or instructors. You know, this is sounds. Section 4 provides that each failure to report a course completion constitutes a separate violation, the civil penalty of up to $500 per violation. Section 5 is a new law relating to actuarial opinion. And Section 6 addresses data privacy. Section 7 raises the standard for determining if stop loss covered must be issued to $60,000, which is the part some people are concerned about. The bill makes several technical changes, as I said, and one that has, I guess, some concern here. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like the department to give their take on this bill that they're asking us to pass here.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, Peter Brickwitty, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. Thank you to Senator Goodwin, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to Senator Carlson for authoring the technical bill as well. This is the department bill, which the Department of Commerce traditionally brings forward. This year it has provisions from three divisions within the department: Administrative Services, the Insurance Division, and the Insurance Fraud Division. Senator Goodwin went through the bill. There are a number of provisions in it, and perhaps, Mr. Chairman, I'd be willing to stand for questions, and that would expedite conversation.
Yeah.
Senator Kosoka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Peter, I didn't get your last name. I apologize. But as an agency bill, normally the practice is that they're out there a little bit earlier. They're vetted by groups that are interested. And yet yesterday afternoon, I started getting all kinds of feedback on Section 7 and Section 8 that it's not just a technical bill, but it's actually a major shift, and that they were not aware of it. And so I guess my first question is why on something that for some is very volatile, did you not follow normal protocol and let them know ahead of time?
Mr. Chairman.
Let me just second that. You should extend these department bills to at least the minority leader, the chair, and probably all the committee members. That's the way it's been done for 30 years, as far as I know. And now you're throwing out these department bills. I don't know if they're good or bad, but I think out of the courtesy and decency in that, you should make us aware sooner. Because usually when we start the session, pretty close to the beginning of the session, we get the department bills and we know what's going on. In this case and a couple other cases, we're not getting the bills. So go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Chair, just one thought on that. We didn't know there was any opposition until yesterday.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's been...
Mr. Mr. Chairman.
Not so sure. Senator Deems, did you have a question?
Well, it isn't a question as much as it is a comment. The fact that they didn't know there was going to be opposition until yesterday, how would the people know they're supposed to oppose it if they haven't seen the bill?
No.
I really think that we should be with pulling this bill off the committee until all the people involved have had a chance to look at this bill, vet it, and bring it back to committee. We got the time to do that, and I think that that's been the procedure. We're not following procedure. This bill is being brought to us right at the last minute, and I would request that we pull this bill off the committee and let the people vet it and then bring it back.
You know, Senator Goodwin, I don't mean to knock this thing off course, but my style, and I know Senator Sola and Senator Scheid and those before me and this chair on this committee have always tried to have people kind of work things out instead of fighting the thing in committee here. So I would kind of suggest that maybe we delay this just a little bit. We're not going to kill it. Work in progress. I don't know. Do we want to take any testimony today, or should we just kind of let the senator? Okay. I'm told we should take some testimony because we're really booked up going to the next few meetings. So,
Mr. Chair, I totally agree with that, and we want to make sure that a technical bill is just a technical bill, and that's what I thought it was. But at any rate, I would agree with that, and I think the party should work it out as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Gazelka, I do want to apologize to you. Again, I would echo Senator Goodwin's point that we had not heard any pushback from this. This has been an issue that's been part of the national conversation around stop loss for some time. But to Senator Dame's point, we have heard from folks in the last couple of days, and we've had some productive conversations since then. But if the committee would like us to continue to do that, we'd be happy to continue those conversations, come back. Certainly appreciate the chairman and his staff's willingness to put us on the schedule, but if there are things that the committee would like us to work out, we can do that.
A lot of concern, I'm told, about Section 6 and 7. Would you...
7 and 8, excuse me.
What do you feel about that? I mean, we could take those out now, and your bill gets out of here.
Mr. Chairman, we do have staff here from the department who can speak to those sections specifically if members would like to hear about it in greater detail. But certainly, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like us to continue a conversation with folks who are interested in that issue, we certainly could do that and come back before the committee before the first deadline.
Okay. And I think that's all right because you could work on it if those sections come out in your hearings or your communications there, that's fine. If you can take one out or two out, that's better to some people. And if you can't, then it comes back the way you still want it, at 6 and 7, then we'll debate that later. So we'll probably give you a chance to that be all right.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I mean, it's 7 and 8 are our issue. If you just take them out of there, then this is smooth sailing. You know, if we get into it, I'm going to ask a lot of questions about, well, number one, we already talked about why I didn't tell anybody, but number two, I got some data related to what moving from 20,000 to 60,000, Commerce thinking it's just an insignificant event, and I look at what other states are doing, and it's very significant. So I would prefer we just got rid of those
today.
Yep, moved it forward and went from there. But.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gazelka, again, we have staff here from the department if you'd like to get into it, but again, I certainly do apologize to you and the committee. Again, this has been an issue that has been out there nationally, and we did not anticipate the level of pushback, but I think if given the opportunity over the next week or so, we should be able to meet with folks and perhaps address some of their concerns. We do think that those sections are good for consumers, and so if we have the opportunity to perhaps work out a compromise, that's something that we'd like to do, but certainly understand and appreciate that is the one area of particular concern for the committee. So, Mr. Chairman, I would certainly defer to the author of the bill, but if you'd like us to work those things out and see if we can do that, and if not, then come back.
Is there enough in the bill that you want passed without 7 and 8? I've got an inkling that we've got a member here who wants to move to take those two sections out. Then we move it. Then we go ahead.
Mr. Chairman,
if you live with that, then you get three quarters of loaf of bread or whatever you're after.
Mr. Chairman. Certainly so. The department does feel that everything in the bill is good. Certainly the committee has the purview to do with the bill as it would like. And we can perhaps can still continue to have these conversations on Section 7 and 8, even if the bill were to move forward.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
I would like to, you know, so we can keep these technical bills on the up and up, I would like to remove 7 and 8. And because even though, I mean, I know the department wants that in there, I think it's better, since that is going to be controversial,
to pass the parts that they need. I think you're doing the right thing. Senator Jensen, did you wish to
move to delete 650A1 to delete Sections 7 and Section 8 from Senate File 650?
Okay. I think we understand it. Is there any discussion on that, Senator? Call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Goodwin, would it be then the department's, would you think that those sections will come back on a bill in their own form? And I mean, if they are, I understand the concerns from the, maybe from the insurance industry, but if they are indeed good for consumers, I would like to see them stay in. So I don't know. I don't want to throw out those.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dahl, I agree with you. I think they, I think that they're going in the right direction. They're doing some changes that need to be, some things that need to be changed for consumer protection. And I would agree that hopefully they will continue to work on this and come up with a bill that addresses those issues.
No, everything is alive here, but yes. I think today I'm willing to take that out. And if you can come back with something, judiciary is another stop, the floor is another stop, and if something's compatible, that's fine. But today we're going to take it out.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Can I ask your intention? Should those sections be agreed upon in a different way, or they work something out? Would it be your intention then to send this to judiciary now and then bring it back here with those two sections in it? Or I'm asking this so we know whether to include to try to you know, do a separate bill. So I guess. Wait a minute. Let me back up, because that would still keep the problem that I originally had, and that it's not singly a technical bill. So,
I think the Judiciary Committee really shouldn't be doing the policy of this committee. So I think they do. We're going to take it out today. They get to do their work. Then, quite frankly, we either bring it back here, you go to the floor, and then you get to figure it out, put an amendment on it after it's worked on. Well, that would be my intent.
Okay, Mr. Chair, and I guess, you know, keeping with the fairness of technical bills, so we know for sure when technical bills come by, they're technical bills, that I would suggest that perhaps the department create another bill outside of the technical bill that we don't add on the floor, so everybody knows what we're up to here.
That's good, Senator. And you want to pass your bill, and
I want to pass,
it's the right thing to do, but... you have another vehicle later, whatever you do. But
yes.
In the meantime, all those in favor of this amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
We need to move the bill, I guess. Senator Pratt.
I'll move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question on Section 6. Senator Goodwin, it talks about the actual or opinion being a public document. I just wanted to verify that public document language was part of the NAIC. I couldn't find it, so.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator Pratt, yes, that was part of the NAIC model, and we could probably dig that up for you and provide it to you after committee.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay.
Any further thoughts or questions on the Senate file? 650. Senator Goodwin then would move that Senate file 650 as amended. We may recommend it pass and forward to the Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Thank you for your cooperation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, we're going to do Monday. We've got a major bill up, that insurance pool bill. So be here on time, and we're going to discuss that bill and set it. Okay, with that... Any adjournment.